countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
There's great connections between Ireland and New Zealand. Rugby springs to mind when I mention that. But many a young Irish farmer has travelled to the Southern Hemisphere to observe the large-scale intensive dairy farms of New Zealand. It's the world's largest exporter of dairy produce and was looked at as a model for Ireland. But with 9 million dairy cows and 28 million sheep, agriculture contributes to half of New Zealand's carbon footprint. Like Irish farming, New Zealand farming has found itself centre stage, so in the climate change debate. The Kiwi government has introduced measures now to make the country carbon neutral by 2050. And this includes planting 1 billion trees over 10 years to tackle emissions. So what impact is this going to have on farming? Well, to discuss the challenges, I'm joined here in studio by Brian Rush, a dairy farmer from Carberry in County Kildare and an Uffield scholar who travelled to New Zealand. And from New Zealand, from Waikato, which is in the Northern Ireland, is Mandy McLeod, a farmer, a farm advisor and an Uffield scholar who's been here to Ireland. So you're both very welcome. Mandy, good evening to you first there. Will you give us an overview there of the scale of dairy farming in New Zealand? We've about 18,000 dairy farmers here, average herd size somewhere below 100 cows or so. What's it like in New Zealand?
Thanks, Damien. So the last statistics in New Zealand showed that the average herd size is 431 cows, which is around about two full-time equivalents to manage those that number. The last count was 4.86 million cows, so that's roughly 800,000 cows more than we have people. And herd numbers have just started to drop to about 12,000 of dairy herds.
Okay.
Despite the decline, we've had the same amount of milk produced, which is about 21 billion litres of milk, or about 1.85 billion kilograms of milk solids.
Okay, so how quickly has the sector grown over the past 30 years? We used to be even with you. We used to produce the same amount of milk. Now we're producing about 7.5-8 billion litres a year, and you've gone way above that, as you say.
So yeah, it has grown, Damien. So what we've seen is that in the mid-80s, we had the phasing out of agricultural support. Actually, it was the Labor government who did that as well, so no subsidies. At the same time, about the 1990s, only 7% of dairy cows was farmed in the South Island. Now, that rose in 10 years to 22% and is now something like getting closer to 38% of cows in the South Island. So we've seen a dramatic shift from North Island to South Island, and sheep and beef converted into dairy, which I understand is happening potentially in Ireland as well. So what really has driven that, and I think the other thing is that the herd size has risen from 170 cows to, as I said, to 431. Really, the removal of subsidies, opportunity to develop land that was relatively cheap at the time in the South Island. And I think the other contributing factor, two other contributing factors, was that there has been no brakes on the system, and people were land banking. So people were converting dairies and weren't worried about them being economically viable because they were relying on capital gain.
Okay. All right. I'm going to turn to Brian here. We're going to talk a little bit now with that. So that's where we are in New Zealand. It's reached tipping point, and the government has intervened there because of, obviously, the climate crisis that we face. Brian, you've been to New Zealand a few years ago, just as we were getting rid of milk quotas here. What did you learn from there? Do Irish farmers look up to New Zealand as a model?
I suppose one of the things that I learned fairly quick is that we have taken a lot from the New Zealand system in terms of maximising the usage of grass, good fertile hardy cows as well, that it suits a spring calving system, and seasonal milk production to match grass growth. I suppose those are we have taken what I would feel is the best of the New Zealand system to suit Irish conditions, but we've put a kind of an Irish twist on it. That's kind of one of the key learnings I got from that. I suppose it is interesting to hear Mandy mention, you know, how the removal of subsidies drove an expansion into dairy.
They had to expand to make a profit,
And I suppose a lot of people have talked about the expansion in the Irish dairy herd, and a lot of the drive behind the expansion in the dairy herd, it is existing farmers getting bigger, but income pressures on the other sectors, tillage, beef and sheep, have left a lot of farmers with an option, you know, that they had to look at getting into dairying in order to maintain an income, you know.
But I'm wondering now, is it a bit of a mistake? Should we stop now looking up and genuflecting at the altar of New Zealand dairy farming when we see what's happened there in terms of how quickly it's expanded, trebled production? We're heading for a doubling of production within a couple of years, which is phenomenal. In light of the challenges which face agriculture, face us all with regards to climate change, should we change the model of dairy farming here?
Well, no, I don't think so, because I think the current model actually delivers for the farmer. Seasonal milk production, calving to grass, maximising grass utilisation delivers a good income for the dairy farmer. But just to go back on something Mandy said, she mentioned that there was no breaks on the New Zealand system. In Europe, we have breaks. Comes under cap and the requirement to maintain your land in good agricultural and environmental condition. And also we have nitrates regulations. And that was the big difference between New Zealand and Ireland I saw. So we're limited on our stocking rates. Right. We're limited on slurry spreading. Our close periods are very strictly adhered to. And to be honest with you, there's more criteria coming in there all along. And to be honest, farmers are rising to that. They see a value in protecting the environment and they see a value in following the regs. As long as those regs don't become two owners and start hurting incomes.
Okay, so Mandy, what is happening now in New Zealand? Jacinta Ardern, who's very much in the news in recent times in these parts, I think she's globally known now at this stage after what happened in Christchurch, but her government now are implementing very strict new regulations to try and tackle climate change. How's that going to impact on the dairy, the world-renowned dairy system in New Zealand?
Damien, that's a really interesting question and one that I don't think we've actually got an answer to yet. The 1 billion trees policy that was announced as part of their campaign in 2017 is really only affecting forestry and unproductive land, so it has very little to do with the dairy industry and what they're trying to do with carbon and methane. So what they've come out with and said so far is that they plan to split methane, which is cows belching, from carbon dioxide, and treat them as two separate things. Carbon dioxide, planting trees, and they've given us some guidelines around that. Canopy has to be 30 metres wide and trees, you know, are 5 metres tall. The biggest thing is the numbers that they're talking about, 10% in 10 years and then up to 22 or more percent following that. We currently don't have the technology to achieve that. And so farmers at the minute are really just in a state of shock. It's just another blow to come onto them.
Okay, and is there any suggestion that they will be asked to cut back on and destock?
Look, to be honest, don't know. At the moment, the bill that has gone up to Parliament has no teeth. They've said that they want to decrease emissions. Our industries are talking about it. The sheep and beef sector are leading it, but there is no legal requirement to do so. I believe that one of the problems with methane, Damien, is that if we could decrease our stocking rate to continue the same amount of pasture in, we get the same methane out.
Okay. Can I ask you as well about animal welfare? Where you have big herds like that of cows, you have more calves. And I heard some suggestions that animal welfare has suffered as a result of the massive growth in dairy farming there. Is that a case? Is that the case?
I think so. Yes, I believe so.
Brian, is that something
It's an anti-Kiwi thing to say, Damien, but I personally believe that has happened.
Okay.
So our herds have increased too fast for our infrastructure.
Okay. So, Shane, there's another lesson to be learned. And we saw what happened, obviously, in France a couple of weeks ago. Noah's an isolated case. Still not nice to see young calves being treated the way they were. And there are more of these calves being produced now in dairy farms. They're worth nothing. Mm-hmm. And they are a byproduct of the ramping up of milk production. What's your view on that? And how should farmers take responsibility in that regard?
I suppose we must never be afraid to insist on the highest standards in terms of animal welfare. Mm-hmm. And anyone who breaks those standards, we must always insist that they pay the penalty, because the industry lies on all our shoulders to protect, you know. Irish farmers have not only invested in infrastructure to protect the environment. They've invested in infrastructure to protect their animals in terms of good housing facilities, calf houses, calf feeders, etc. And there is always that fear that a ramping up in stock numbers will result in poor animal welfare standards. But it's also worth noting that this year in the Irish regional veterinary laboratories, it was the quietest year they've ever had in terms of, you know, post-mortems, which would be an indication that animal health and animal welfare was very good in Irish farms.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm afraid time is against us. Mandy, I know it's evening time there for you. Thank you very much. It is something we'll come back to, but it's just worth, I suppose, us noting what is happening in New Zealand. So many dairy farmers in this country travel to New Zealand to learn what's going on there, but now it's facing a big problem with regards, obviously, to tackling climate change, and that's a situation that faces dairy farmers and faces us all in this country as well. So we'll keep an eye out and keep tabs with you there as to what's happening. Thank you very much indeed for joining us, Mandy McLeod there in Waikato, and also to Brian Wush, dairy farmer and IFA County Chair in Kildare. Thank you very much indeed for dropping by as well.